If you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18, I want to start at. This, when the Holy Spirit gave me this message, I just felt like this is really going to really be a blessing, and I'm going to give some spiritual keys that I believe will help you. Ephesians 6, 18, we'll start with. And it simply says this: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That it says praying always with all prayer. That literally means this: praying with all kinds of prayer. Say all kinds. All kinds of prayer. Just knowing what it says in the original doesn't just kind of like expands it. Oh, all kinds. Okay. Now go with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Oh, I feel like that praise and worship really opened our heart up to receive the word. Amen. That's what we're here to do. Open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Philippians 4. 6 and 7, and it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, underline that, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Today I want to talk about a topic that is it's one of the most important topics that we can talk about as a Christian, for the Christian life. This is something that we should do on a normal, on a regular basis. This action, by the way, it's not optional. This is a requirement. We need to be doing this. And in some cases, the absence of doing this thing, in some cases, say some cases, can be life or death. I want to talk about and teach on the topic of prayer today. And specifically, I want to talk about prayer and supplication. Say that with me. Prayer and supplication. The title of my message is Prayer and Supplication. So let's jump right into it. I got about a 10 and a half pager, so hold on tight, all right? The effectiveness of our Christian life hinges on relationship, does it not? A meaningful relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that includes communication. That includes activating the benefits of the new covenant in our life. Say activating. How many of you know everything is not automatic in the Christian life? We need to do some things to activate it for it to happen. Amen? No prayer, no communication, no relationship. Guess what? Then no benefits of the new covenant will be active in your life as a Christian. Prayer in connection to receiving from God is simply this. Let's break what down here, what it is. It's using your earthly authority as a human on this earth and your spiritual authority through Christ to shift situations and to receive provision from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. God makes it very clear in His Word that if we don't pray for some things specifically, we won't receive those things. I mean, this is how often, yeah, do we get busy with life and we don't pray like we should? That's exactly what the devil's trying to do. He wants you to keep so busy with other things that you don't pray because he knows that it activates the new covenant in your life and the benefits. Matthew 6:8 reveals that our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of, and then it goes on to say something very interesting. It says, before we pray. In other words, we are still expected to pray just because God knows what you need. We are still expected to pray. Why? Because it activates the new covenant and transfers the blessings into our life. It's a transaction between earth and heaven. Did you hear what I just said? It's a transaction between earth and heaven, not heaven and earth. It's a transaction between earth and heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to this. When we pray, it's a transaction from earth to heaven. When we pray in tongues, it's a transaction between heaven and earth. Because we're praying the perfect will of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. But we still are the ones doing the praying in tongues. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. All three of those actions, ask, seek, and knock, are our responsibility. Say, that's my responsibility. The answer to those three things is up to the Holy Spirit, but we have to initiate the asking, seeking, and knocking. If we don't ask, we don't receive. If we don't seek, we won't find. If we don't knock, the door won't be opened. In other words, the Lord is trying to show us this. Use your authority, your focus. Use your authority. Use your focus. Use your faith to pull on your blessings and provision to receive on this earth. Maintaining a prayer life will help you maintain your focus on a spiritual mindset, on the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, or things pertaining, come on, to the new covenant through Jesus. It'll help you to as you maintain a prayer life, it'll help maintain your focus on who God is and that he's always present with us to help. Amen. The Holy Spirit revealed some powerful points about prayer this week to me. Now, most of the time, we think about prayer as just simply asking God for something. How many of you, whether in the past or even now, are you honest enough to say when you hear about prayer, the only thing that comes to your mind is your little wish list and asking God? I used to think that, right? But that's not the complete truth about what prayer is. That's a portion of it. But that's not the complete truth. Prayer is not just about asking God for things. I want to drill that in your heart and mind today. Prayer is not just about asking God for things. Prayer is really a general term. Say general term. But there are other aspects of it that fit into the category of prayer that many Christians don't even think about. Now, this is where I'm gonna, my point on this message and what I felt the Holy Spirit wanted to do in this message is to give us a fuller, a richer view and understanding of what prayer is. It's not just about asking. Are you following me? Say, it's not just about asking. So Ephesians 6:18, as I mentioned, it says all prayer. Literally, that means in the original, in the Greek, all kinds of prayer. So there are several different kinds of prayer, and each kind of prayer has its own set of rules attached to it. Kenneth E. Hagin, he teaches that there's 9 different kinds of prayer. Number 1, there's the prayer of faith. Number 2, there's the prayer of commitment. Number 3, there's a prayer of consecration. Number 4, there's the prayer of agreement. Number 5, there's the prayer of, come on, intercession. How many intercessors we got in here? Amen. Now, number 6, the prayer of, here it is, supplication. Number 7, united or corporate prayer. Number 8, praying in tongues, or otherwise known as praying in the Spirit. Those are used interchangeably. Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And then number 9. Which many people don't even think is prayer. Ready? A prayer of praise and worship to God. We're expanding your view today. Many people try to apply the rules of one kind of prayer to another. For example, they try to apply the rules of the prayer of consecration to God. That the prayer of consecration is very simple. Ready? It's, Lord, if it be your will. Lord, I want to do this, if it be your will. Well, what's that saying? You really don't know if it's will, but you're saying, if it's your will, let it be. prayer of consecration. Many use that rule of if it be your will to a prayer of faith, and it won't work. That's like trying to play a basketball game using the rules of a football game. It doesn't work that way. It's out of place. Are you with me so far? In several verses and passages in the Word of God, it refers to, it specifically separates, ready? Prayer and supplication. Prayer, Philippians 4, 7, I believe it was, 6 or 7, did that. The Holy Spirit, as I was reading these scriptures, that jumped out to me. For some reason, the Holy Spirit seemed fit to separate prayer and supplication. Say prayer and supplication. Now, I really never understood what supplication was until I really studied it deeper. Again, a lot of times we as Christians, we get so lazy. We read the word, you read prayer and supplication, we just keep on trucking. Why? Because we're just trying to punch our time clock. But there's a blessing in slowing down, in studying, doing word studies. Amen? I want to encourage you all to do word studies. Supplication, listen, fits into the category of prayer, but as I mentioned, it's a certain kind of prayer. Prayer is a general term, but supplication is specific. It's like someone asking you, hey, where do you live? And you say, I live in the United States of America. But to be more specific, I live in Michigan. But to get really specific, I live in Carroll, Michigan. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Prayer is the USA. And all the other different kinds of prayer is Michigan and Carroll, Michigan. Come on. Supplication is prayer, but it's a very specific kind of prayer, which I want to talk about shortly. I'm going to talk about that down the road a little bit because I want to expand your view on what prayer is because we've been so narrow-minded, narrow-focused that prayer is simply this. God, here's my wish list, and that's all it is, but it's not. Here we go. We are told in the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians 5:7, it says, to pray without ceasing, without stopping, without a hindrance. In other words, continue to pray on purpose. Now, that verse makes more sense, knowing that it's more than just asking God for things and stuff. It's more than our fleshly wish list. How many of you know a fleshly wish list, you can run out of it real quick? And then prayer gets boring to many. Well, you're not seeing the bigger picture in what all prayer entails. If you catch hold of this message, you will see why the Lord says in 1 Thessalonians 5:7 to pray without ceasing, because it's more than asking. Here's the main point I want to drive home into your heart today. Prayer is not just about asking God for stuff. It also includes this. Are you ready? Praise and worship and adoration to God. It involves just having a conversation with Him, opening your heart out to Him with no agenda. And it also includes declaring, here's what people don't understand, get ready. Prayer also includes declaring and verbally speaking faith-filled confessions. That's included in prayer as well. It also includes this, using your authority and the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit to command mountains to move in your life. People don't think of that because it's only in asking, right? Oh, prayer's just, Lord, do this, give me this, give me this. No, no, no. It involves all of these different aspects, and we've been missing it. We've gotten bored in prayer because we went in with our own fleshly mindset, but there's so much more to it, so much more to it. And then we wonder why the power of God's not moving in our life personally. Now, it includes also, ready? Commanding sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, and demons to leave people. It includes praying for and praying over someone is too. That's included in it. Go with me quickly to Mark 11. Mark 11. Hallelujah. Here we go. We're jumping right in. Mark 11, 20 through 24. I think I brought this verse up for the last three sermons, and guess what? I might continue to, everyone. Who knows? But this is a verse, a passage that we need to get drilled into our heart. Amen? Mark, but in by the way, I'm always bringing up kind of a different aspect on it each time. We're not just going to the same aspect or place from the last time. Mark 11, 20 through 24. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain and be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Say whatever. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Very interesting, because Jesus, it goes about talking about Jesus cursing the fig tree. Jesus gives us instructions on the power of our words, having faith. Having faith adds power to our words. And then guess what he does? He switches it to prayer. Do you notice that? That's not by accident. He's connecting the two. He's connecting it. I want you to notice that according to this passage, prayer is a combination of using our spoken words to command, come on, and also to ask. Oh, come on. It's right there in Mark 11, 20 through 24. So this is the part that many Christians don't understand. When you are commanding a situation to switch, to change, when you're commanding a mountain to move, when you're commanding, that's part of the prayer process as well. The Holy Spirit is revealing to us that there is a time to use our authority with our spoken words. There is a time to command or declare. And then, ready? There's a time to ask for something in faith. Let me say it again. There's a time to command by using our authority in Christ, and then there's a time to ask our Heavenly Father. We're going to break that down in a moment here. Jesus cursed that fig tree with faith-filled words that had authority. He didn't ask his Heavenly Father to do it for him. Hello? Yeah. Jesus did not ask. Peter said, Jesus, that fig tree which you cursed, which you cursed. Jesus didn't say, Heavenly Father, please curse this fig tree. No, it was done by Jesus' command and spoken words. Now, here's the cool thing. Ready? Here's the cool thing about Jesus and his life. Jesus is our example. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was a man. Yeah, he was a God man, but he operated on this earth as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. Just like us. We just don't have that God part, right? We had an earthly mommy and daddy, right? But listen to this. But he did both. Jesus, in his personal life and ministry, he did both. He asked his Heavenly Father for things, and he made commands with his spoken word. And we need to do the same. Satan, listen to this. Ready? Satan and the entire kingdom of darkness are terrified of a Christian. Are you ready? Say, I'm listening. Satan and the kingdom of darkness are terrified of a Christian that can make the right determination to either command using their authority in Christ or to ask their Heavenly Father for something in faith. Now, many times we ask God to do something that's our responsibility, to use our God-given authority. And this, my friend, this, to make that determination, whether you use your authority or you go to your Heavenly Father in prayer and ask in faith, this is one of the differences. I say it all the time. Are you ready? Between just a believer and a disciple. How many of you want to go to the disciple level? Where you're a learner, you're learning, you want to go deeper, you want to learn the things. You know, it's easy to be a believer. It's easy to become a Christian. But a disciple, now it takes a little bit more effort. Now it takes some time. It takes some effort on your part to study the word, to press in prayer for more revelation and wisdom. Amen? Always ask yourself this before taking action. Is this something I need to ask my Heavenly Father for, or is this a situation that I'm expected to use my authority by making a command at it? That's, you always ask yourself that question, because if it's something you're supposed to use a command on, but you're asking, guess what? You're wasting your time and your breath. Ooh, it's getting mighty quiet in here. I know it's soaking into your heart. Listen, sometimes it's a combination of both, a command and asking. And listen to this. You can ask your Heavenly Father for something in faith, and then you can bind the enemy from trying to hinder it from coming to pass. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Ready? Let's think outside the box. Amen. Let's start getting a little strategic with our prayer life here. Amen? Amen. Use both. Yeah. Use both. But, and then continue to make faith-filled confession that thing that you asked for, you're binding the enemy. Then continue to make faith-filled confessions that thing is yours all the way to until that thing manifests in this natural realm. So stay positive in faith. Amen? So in other words, ask yourself, how should I initiate or start the process of this transaction between the spirit realm and the natural realm? That's all that prayer is. Prayer is a transaction. You're pulling something from the spirit realm into the natural realm. God knows. I hear that, Lord. I hear you. Listen, God knows. Listen to this. God knows what you have need of before you ask him. Again, we are still expected to ask for our needs to be met. Now, it's an invitation for the Holy Spirit and for God's angels, ministering spirits, to cross over from the spirit realm to give a little help in the natural realm. How many of you ever need a little help probably from God's angels and ministering spirits? Amen. Well, prayer activates them. Now, prayer, not just asking, but when you speak to a mountain, angels are listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth and they act. I'm telling you, hey, this is disciple stuff right here. Am I making disciples today? Yeah. Come on, somebody. From what I see in the Word of God, and listen, one of the things that we are to ask for, listen to me. One of the things, what I see in the Word of God, one of the things we are to ask for is this: any kind of earthly provision in our life, according to Matthew 6, earthly needs, because it's talking about how people worry about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, about their natural needs. Jesus said, your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of, right? He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So what I see in the Word, and in Matthew 6, 8 as well, is that we are to ask for those earthly provisions with a prayer of faith. Say prayer of faith. Now, why a prayer of faith? Because we can pray a prayer of faith because we know that God desires our natural and physical needs to be met on this earth. We never have to wonder if God wants us to live a good life on this earth. We never have to wonder if you're in poverty today. You can pray in faith for your needs to be met. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not the will of God for you to be in poverty. Now, there might be some natural things you need to do in the natural, right? God says if you don't work, you don't eat. There might be some natural things you need to do, right? But when you do what you can do, but one of the things is I notice this. So we are to ask our Heavenly Father for needs to be met, our earthly needs. I want you to notice this. Are you ready? Here we go. I want you to notice it talks about our needs being met, not our wants. Needs, not wants. Now, that doesn't mean that God don't want to fulfill your wants or desires. But even with our wants or desires, God is generous enough in Philippians 4:6 to let, and he said this, ready? He said, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen to me. Requests be made known. Well, that can include a need, but that's also a want or a desire in your life. Amen? It's a request unto God. Say request. That is our Heavenly Father's invitation to us. Just make sure when you're asking for something you're desiring in your heart, a want. When you're asking for a want, make sure, according to James 4:3, that you're not asking, ready? Amiss. Or missing the target on your prayers. And how do we do that? The book of James 4:3 says, we ask amiss by wanting to consume it upon our own lust. In other words, this has nothing to do to be tied into the kingdom of God. This is just your lustful, fleshly desire. And guess what I found out? God won't bless that. Are you following me? This is what hit me like a ton of bricks in my spirit as I was studying this. Prayer includes verbally confessing the word of God and using our authority through the Lord Jesus Christ by making commands, by making declarations. Many Christians don't know that. They don't consider that as prayer, and they have a very shallow definition and understanding. This is the revelation I got this week. We've been too shallow thinking what prayer is. We are not commanding God. By the way, when we make a command, when we're using our authority, listen, are you ready for this? This is going to put some, because some Christians, if they don't have a good knowledge on the word, they think, commanding God, commanding? That just don't feel right. Oh, you know what I mean? We are not commanding God, but rather we're commanding things and situations using our God-given authority. That God has given us the authority to shift those things. Amen? Again, this is disciple-level activity. We aren't commanding God when using our authority because he already gave us permission to use that authority in advance to advance his kingdom. Are you following me? And how many of you know this is what the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you all as well? Are you ready? God is always in agreement with us when we want to advance his kingdom on this earth. Amen. He's always in agreement. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have, if you're commanding something to shift and something that's not, that's against the word of God, that's against God's kingdom, and you're trying to shift it for righteousness, you don't have to sit around and pray for it for 2 weeks until you take action. Right. Because when we want to advance the kingdom of God, God's always in agreement with that. Amen? God has given us a free will to use his authority. And we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to guide and direct us on how to use that authority. Are you following me? Now, we have general rules about prayer, but when it comes down to our personal life, how many of you know, I said it before, the Holy Spirit will give us that personal information on how to pray for our personal life. You understand? Now, here we go. Ready for this? Spiritual warfare is where we are supposed to use our authority. How do I know that? Because Ephesians 6 says this. Are you ready? One word tells it all of why we're supposed to use our authority in spiritual warfare. It simply says this. It starts off with we. Say we. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual enemies. And it goes on. You know the rest. But it starts off with we. It doesn't say God wrestles with it. Right. We do. And that's why we got to use our authority against the enemy. God doesn't have a problem against the enemy. We do on this earth. And God says, here's my authority. Here's my name, the name of Jesus. Now use it against the enemy and advance the kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that expands the meaning and the scope of prayer in a major way in my life because it's not just about, come on, asking for stuff. In fact, asking for stuff is just the basement level of prayer. There's so much more in the over the topic of prayer. Amen? Listen to this. When Jesus ministered healing to people, he did not ask his heavenly Father to do it. If you look through all of the accounts in the Gospels, you'll see that most of the time, Jesus made a command of some sort. He used his authority against that sickness or disease, against that demonic spirit. Are you following me? Jesus used his authority to command sickness, disease, infirmity, and demons to leave people. He was not asking his heavenly Father to do it. Again, don't ask God to do something that you're expected to do. Many times there was a verbal command. Even when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, a verbal command with authority was made. Right? Lazarus, come forth. And how about Jesus when he rebuked fevers? Remember Peter's mother-in-law? Yes, Peter was married. All the Catholics said, come on. Right? Jesus rebuked fevers. All right? I think many Christians, listen to me real good here. I think many Christians are afraid to use their authority when ministering healing because they feel like they're trying to do God's job. Some even feel rebellious trying to do it. They're afraid that, am I being prideful doing this? They try to think, man, it feels like I'm doing God's job. So when they minister healing, listen to me, ready? They're stuck in one mode. What mode do you think that is? The asking mode. Again, Jesus is our example. If you look through the Gospels, you look at when he ministered healing. Most of the time, he made the command. He wasn't asking. He used his authority. Come on. And I'm going to prove it. Listen to this. Jesus sent out the 12 and the 70. Say 12 and 70. 12 and 70. Jesus sent out the 12 and the 70 to heal. Did he not? They use their authority by commanding and declaring primarily like Jesus did. Go with me to Luke 9. Luke 9, real quick here. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Let's just clear this up right now. You're not trying to be God when you're given a command. You're using the authority that God gave you on this earth to use it. Look at this. Oh, this is so good. It says this. Then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What makes us think that they ministered to the sick and disease any differently than Jesus ministered to the sick and disease? And don't give me that line, well, but he was Jesus and they weren't. No, no, Jesus was our example. We should minister healing and deliverance to people exactly how Jesus did, by using commands, by speaking to that mountain, speaking to that cancer, speaking to that sickness and disease. Amen? Jesus sent them out. Ready? He sent them out with two things. Say two things.
Two things.
Authority and power. Authority and power. Guess what? Jesus was saying, I'm giving you authority and I'm giving you power. Now, guys, 12, 70, you have a free will. Use that authority, use that power in a righteous way. Did you just hear what I said? And go heal the sick, go cast out demons and advance the kingdom of God. Don't ask God to do what he's expecting you to do. We need to get back to the New Testament way for the healing ministry and how to minister to people. Use your authority. That's your job. And just put it to rest in your mind right now. Ready? God's not offended by you using the authority that he gave you. Amen. Are you seeing now? Can you see? I can feel it right now. Ooh, I feel the anointing. I feel like a boldness is rising up in some people now. Why? Because you've just been stuck in the asking mode. Say asking mode. Listen to this. Authority is a lawful right to act. Authority is the lawful right to act. And power is the ability to act or to produce supernatural results. Did you just hear what I said? Authority is the lawful right to do it. Power is the ability to do that thing and to produce supernatural results. The Holy Spirit is working with you. When you use your spiritual authority in Christ, the Holy Spirit is working with you. In fact, when you make a command to a mountain, to a sickness or a disease, the Holy Spirit says, thank you very much. I'm going to step into this situation now. Right. Come on. Let that faith and boldness rise up on the inside of you. So you need to know the difference between asking and using your authority by making a command. Now, think about this. This hit me when I was studying this. People that are stuck in the asking for healing mode, okay? Here's what came to me. This thought came to me. It requires more faith to ask God for healing than it does to command it by using your own authority. Now let that sink in real good. Let me say it one more time. It requires more faith to ask God for healing than it does to command it by using your God-given authority. Why? Here's what the Holy Spirit said. People that are stuck in the asking mode, there's always that potential for the lingering, for the enemy to throw in a doubt. Because you're asking. If you're asking, well, he might not give it. Wow, he might not do it. Heavenly Father, please heal this and this. Please? 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 Do you see? That's not faith. If you're asking for it, the enemy comes in and says, ha ha, here's a thought. Maybe God won't do it. But when you start making a bold command, faith rises up on the inside of you. Are you following me? Oh, hallelujah. When you ask, again, the enemy will try to attack you with doubt. But when you command it, again, that boldness rises up within you. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. All of this that I've been teaching up here, all these messages are leading to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this church and in this region and how to minister effectively to people. Shift from asking to commanding. Glory to God. James chapter 5. Don't get stuck in that asking mode on things where you're supposed to command and use your authority. James 5, 13 through 16. Look at this. Is anyone among you suffering? King James says, is anyone among you afflicted? Look at the instruction here. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Pray over him. Pray over him. Sheds a little different light on what I'm talking about, the ministry of healing now, doesn't it? And prayer. Let him pray over him, making a command for healing. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Oh, get ready. Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The prayer over him, over that sick person, means this. Use your authority by commanding healing to come, by commanding sickness, disease, and infirmity to leave that person. A prayer of command, knowing the will of God. It's a prayer of faith because you know the will of God on it. You don't have to wonder if it's God's will for you to be healed. Amen. Any more amens other than my wife? Am I in a Baptist church this morning? What? Listen, prayer is more than asking. Sometimes it's commanding. Do you see how understanding the greater scope totally shifts your mindset of prayer? It isn't a desperation. It isn't a weepy, faithless asking for it. It's a taking authority over that thing. Now, the effective fervent, let's jump into this. This is powerful. Thank you, Lord. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man or person avails much. Listen to this. Effective fervent prayer means this: a prayer or words filled with desire, filled with boldness and faith that is hitting its intended target in the spirit. Did you just hear what I said? The effective fervent prayer means that a prayer filled and words filled, because prayer is more than asking. Sometimes it's commanding. With words filled with desire, boldness, and faith that's hitting its intended target in the spirit. Now, here's what's extremely interesting. Say, I'm listening. Fervent. Say fervent. Fervent comes from the Greek word, ready? Energio. Say energio. Fervent comes from the Greek word energio, where we get our same English word energy or power. It means this, catch this now. It means to energize, working in a situation which brings it from one stage or one point to the next stage or next point. Like an electrical current, energizing a wire, bringing that energy to a shining light bulb. Yeah. Oh, let me say it again. It means to energize, working in a situation. This is what a fervent, a hot, a prayer full of energy, boldness, faith does. Working in a situation which brings it from one stage to the next. Like an electrical current energizing a wire, bringing it, the energy or power, to a shining light bulb. This is absolutely talking about using our authority in Christ with desire, boldness, and faith. Using our authority in Christ, using faith, filled commands transfers, come on, the energy or the power current, or as we know in Christianity, ready? The anointing of the Holy Spirit from the spirit realm into the natural realm. I just find it interesting that when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus's garment, it says that her faith drew power out of Jesus. It drew, come on, energio. Out of Jesus. It went from one stage that Jesus had it into another stage or point into the woman, and it lit her bulb. It healed her. Are you following me? Here's what else is interesting that the Holy Spirit showed me. It said the effective, fervent prayer of a what? A righteous man or a righteous person. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit told me. He said a righteous person's prayers and confessions and spoken words are more powerful because their heart is not trying to condemn them for unconfessed sin in their life that would weaken their confidence, that would weaken their faith, and short circuit, come on, the energio. The power or the anointing of the Holy Spirit when ministering to someone. That's why if you want someone to pray over you, make sure their life is right. Because the effective, fervent prayer or command or spoken words are effective through a righteous person. You shouldn't let anyone lay hands on you. Oh, did you just hear what I said? A clean, here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said a clean, a pure conscience and heart makes your prayers and faith confessions more effective, more fervent, more full of energy, power, more where the flow of the Holy Spirit is there, more in the spirit realm. Go to James 5, 17 through 18, just down the road here. James 5, 17 through 18. Let's talk a little bit about Elijah. It's in the same flow here. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, here we go. I don't believe that word prayer used in these two verses. I do not believe it's meant to ask God. I think it's talking about where he's making prophetic declarations. He's commanding. Why? I absolutely believe that prayer here is talking about Elijah using his prophetic authority, his spoken words and commands to stop the rain for 3.5 years and then command it to rain again. I don't believe Elijah, listen to me, I don't believe Elijah was begging God for it to stop raining and then to start again. Why? Why would I even say that, right? Doesn't it just seem, it seems blasphemous, right? Well, of course he was asking God. No, why? Here's why. Because Jesus didn't ask or beg his heavenly Father to stop the storm. Jesus commanded the storm to stop with authoritative words and commands by saying, "Peace, be still." I don't believe that Elijah asked. He commanded that rain because God gave him that authority to do it. He was walking in the office of a prophet. It was the prophetic anointing, prophetic authority. Are you following me so far? Christians, we need to understand this, that we have more power. We have more authority. We have more power through the Holy Spirit than we even realize on this earth. Our lack of understanding will hinder our faith and effectiveness in using our authority in Christ. We must believe in our heart when we give the command. Isn't that what Jesus is saying in Mark 11, 22 and 23, right? Believe in your heart. Whatever you say, believe it in your heart, it shall come to pass, right? There are so many different aspects to prayer, and we just zoom in on this being needy and wanting our fleshly things, right? It's no wonder, Christians, we get so bored in our prayer life. How many of you looked at prayer as boring until my sermon? We focused on one little aspect of prayer. Why? Because we want it, God. We want something for us. I want my fleshly wish list, right? But prayer isn't just about asking God for things. Again, it's praising and worshiping him. It's using our authority and praying in agreement with other Christians for a need or a desire. It's also praying and singing in tongues. It's also praying and singing in tongues, speaking words of gratitude, speaking words of thankfulness to God. It's all prayer. It's so much more than just having that needy mindset of earthly stuff. It also includes ministering to others, again, by using our authority. Now, go to Luke 6:12. Luke 6:12. Luke 6:12. Hallelujah. Now you can see where pray without ceasing can come into play, because we're supposed to always be thanking God. We're always supposed to have a heart of thankfulness to him. We should always be speaking the word, positive confessions. It's more than just asking God for stuff. Luke 6:12. I love this. Now it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus went to a mountain. He had a special place. He went to this specific mountain. He went to the mountain, and it said he prayed for a half hour because he got bored. No, no. It says it was so exciting to him. Follow what I'm saying. Prayer was so exciting, so energizing to him. He didn't want to leave prayer. He didn't want to leave that mountain. It says he prayed all night. Has anybody ever gotten the flow of praying all night to God, praising and worshiping him all night? It's like you just got into a flow and time just flew by like that. Jesus continued all night in prayer to his heavenly Father. Now, I'm sure Jesus did ask, obviously, right? Because prayer is a combination of asking, commanding, praising, thankfulness to him, all these things. I'm sure Jesus asked for specific things, right? But after a while, again, you run out of things to ask for. Jesus was praising and worshiping his heavenly Father. Jesus was declaring and speaking faith-filled confessions from the Word. Jesus was speaking words of consecration to the will of God for his life and ministry on this earth. I even believe this. Are you ready for this? Let me drop this one on you. Ready? This gets everybody ready. I believe Jesus even prayed and sang in tongues. Did you hear what I just said? Listen to me. Why wouldn't he? Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and operated in the gifts of the Spirit. Why do you cut tongues out of it? Oh, I just lost about maybe 30% of you, but I'm going to keep going anyways. Listen to this. The only people that get offended by hearing the possibility that Jesus spoke and sang in tongues are the ones that are against the gifts of the Spirit. Hello? No, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands in here. But specifically against tongues. I believe Jesus spoke in tongues. And I believe that was one of the biggest blessings and how he ended up walking in the power of the Holy Ghost on this earth. He was our example. Why wouldn't he have prayed in tongues? Why wouldn't he do praise and worship and sing to his heavenly Father in tongues? So Jesus is our example of a Holy Spirit baptized person operating on this as a man on this earth. He operated in the gifts of the Spirit, but except we're going to draw the line on the possibility of him speaking and singing in tongues. Just in my mind, that just doesn't make sense. Why stop there? And anyways, tongues is so powerful, the devil would love nothing more than to twist it in your head and to keep you from it for the rest of your life on this earth. Because you're praying the perfect will of God. You're always hitting that spiritual target in the spirit, man, when you're praying in tongues. Amen? Paul said this. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. I don't know if you've seen her now, but Paul had a pretty powerful ministry. Maybe we should take some lessons from that. Amen? So it says, Jesus continued all night in personal, private prayer to his heavenly Father. Obviously, it wasn't boring to Jesus because all kinds of prayer energized and strengthened Jesus, just like it does for us as Christians. Prayer should be exciting and it should be fulfilling for every Christian. And if it's not, it's not God's problem, it's our problem. There is no reason that prayer should be boring to any Christian. And if it is, you're absolutely in the flesh. You have the wrong focus. You have a fleshly mindset with a very limited understanding of what prayer is. And that's what I'm trying to correct today. Again, it included prayer. Included in prayer is using your authority to command mountains to move and declaring and speaking the word of God, faith-filled confessions. That is why we are commanded, again, to pray without ceasing. It's more than just asking God for stuff. It's much more expansive. It's much more productive than that. Amen? Let's take a look at the upper room. Go to Acts chapter 1 real quick. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, 12 through 14, a couple verses here. Let's take a look at the upper room prayer meeting. What went on in that upper room? Some real good stuff, amen? I want to turn this whole building and property into an upper room, amen? How do we do it? Here we go, Acts 1, 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Verse 14, ready? Here we go. Look at this. Something very interesting in this verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer. Huh. And supplication. Prayer and again, the Holy Spirit separates it. What's up? With one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, real quick, look at Acts 2, 1 through 2. Just down the road a little bit. Acts 2, verses 1 through 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly, say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. By the way, it was suddenly to them, but there was momentum building in the Spirit from the prayer meeting. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, both passages talk about being in one accord, being in harmony, being in unity with each other with one purpose in prayer. Say this, one purpose in prayer. Here's what was going on, ready? There wasn't just a mic up front and everyone was quiet and one person came up and said a nice little prayer and then, you know, it was not a quiet place. They were all with one accord in a symphony, raising their voices at one time together. Come on, somebody. That's the upper room. That's the kind of prayer that will make a portal of glory over this building, over this property, and over this region. When we all lift our voice with one purpose, with one accord, that's when the Holy Spirit will pour himself out. Amen? The Holy Spirit spoke this to me about the upper room prayer meeting. He said this, the majority of the prayer that was taking place, ready for this? Was spoken words of praise and worship and faith-filled confessions, not asking for stuff. Did you hear what I just said? It was lifting him up in praise and worship, worshiping Jesus. Come on. And then we wonder why isn't the Holy Spirit moving in my life? Because all you're doing is bringing your wish list to him. You're not exalting him with the prayer of praise and worship. Are you following me? You're not exalting him. That kind of prayer created an atmosphere and a spiritual mindset or focus in the people that were in the upper room. Ready? For the supernatural power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to fall and break out. It prepared the spiritual atmosphere for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want to bring to your attention here again, Acts 1:14 said this, prayer and supplication. Say that, say prayer and supplication. Now this is a perfect time for me to interject what supplication means. I'm not spending a lot of time on supplication, but here's what supplication means. Supplication means this, to petition God or to ask God or to request something, ready? With a dependency, an urgency, and humility. Supplication is this. It's a very emotional type of prayer where you are in this mode, ready? Desperation mode. It's a request. It's a request. Say request. A prayer of supplication is a request for something. Ready? It's a request for something for you or for someone else that you don't know the will of God about. That's why a prayer of supplication is separate from a prayer of faith. A prayer of supplication is a request that you may not get. Who you're praying for, they may get it, they may not get it. But it's a desire in your heart. You're crying out to God. It's an emotional plea to God. That's supplication. A prayer for healing, by the way, is not a prayer of supplication according to the word. A prayer for healing in the word of God is referred to as what? A prayer of faith. Why? Because healing is a prayer of faith because God made his will known about healing in his word. Therefore, you don't have to wonder. It's not a if it be your will. Are you following me? It's not a request. It's not a guessing game. Prayer for healing is not a prayer of supplication. It's a prayer of faith, or should be. Amen? Don't try playing basketball with football rules. Right. You'll get kicked out of the game, right? Here's why. Listen to this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Say that with me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If the will of God is not known on something, you can't truly have faith for it. You can only have faith for something that you know it's the will of God. That's why it's got to be backed in the Word of God by a promise. Are you following me? If the will of God is not known for sure about something for your life or for someone else's life that you're praying for, it's simply a prayer of supplication or a request to God. Or it can also be this. Where's my intercessors? It could also be a prayer of intercession for someone. You're standing in the gap for someone. Or it's a prayer of consecration to the will of God personally. You know, it's a if it be your will kind of a prayer or request. So the upper room meeting involved prayer and supplication in one accord. And it led to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was a place that was filled with desire and faith. The Holy Spirit likes to get involved where there's, come on, desire or spiritual hunger and faith. Say spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger and faith. We need spiritual hunger and faith. Amen? Amen. Now, go to Acts 16 real quick here. It's 11:51, so relax. We're good on time. Now, Acts 16, 25 through 26. This is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You getting anything out of this today?
Yes.
That prayer is so much more. We should never be bored in prayer. There's so much more, right? Acts 16, 25 through 26, and it says, but at midnight, something strikes a chord in that third watch prayer, baby. Midnight. Say midnight. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Say loosed. At midnight, the third watch of the night, Paul and Silas were in jail, and they began praying and singing hymns to God. They were praying. They were doing the prayer of praise and worship and adoration to God. The Holy Spirit revealed this to me about this account of Paul and Silas in the prison. Ready? Paul and Silas were not sad. Paul and Silas were not depressed. They were full of expectation, faith, and joy in a prison. Say they were full of joy in a prison. The majority of their praying was praise and worship and positive faith-filled confessions to God. They were not begging God out of desperation because they knew God would deliver them. Do you hear what I just said? They knew God. That's why they could have praise and worship, and they weren't praying, come on, ready? From a place of fear and desperation. Ooh, I'll tell you right now, you want to irritate the devil? You pray from an attitude of joy and faith and boldness, not from sadness and depression.
Amen. That's good.
The only thing that's going to get you your breakthrough is when you shift your attitude, you have a different mindset, and you come into it from that route. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there was a thankfulness within them. And they were speaking and declaring their freedom before it came to pass. Did you just hear what I said? There was thankfulness in them, and they were speaking. They were declaring, confessing their freedom, their miracle before it came to pass. And God showed up for them in a miraculous way. Start changing what comes out of your mouth, and you'll see things start to change in your life. Stop talking negative. Amen? All you're doing, when you talk negative, all you're doing to all of God's angels, what you're doing to the Holy Ghost is this. My point is this. Prayer is so much more than just asking for things. We need to expand that definition of prayer. It's not a boring act of hopelessness and desperation-filled requests. The Holy Spirit showed me something very powerful to consider in connection to fasting and praying. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Real quick, and I'm almost done here. Mark 9. I can feel revelation sparking on the inside of people right now. Mark 9, 28 through 29. I can see it. I can see it. Just like how it said how Paul could see their faith. You could see it. I can see faith rising up. I can see a boldness rising up. Thank you, Lord. Mark 9, 28 through 29. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, this kind of demon cannot come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So this is about the account where the disciples tried to cast a demon out of a young boy, a child, and it wouldn't come out. And so they were frustrated. And then they said, "Jesus, why can't we cast this thing out?" Real quick, go to the account, the same account, back in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verses 19 through 21. This is my last scripture. You know, Matthew 17, 19 through 21. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you." However, say however. This kind. Very interesting, right? This kind of demon, basically, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Jesus reveals that the problem was unbelief within the heart of the disciples. That's why they couldn't cast the demon out. The problem wasn't the demon. The problem was the unbelief in the ministers. Are you following me? Jesus said, "This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So the problem wasn't the demon. The problem was with the unbelief or the lack of faith in the heart of the disciples. Jesus reveals that prayer and fasting, those two combinations, prayer and fasting is the solution to the unbelief, which would resolve the issue and they would have been able to cast the demon out. The Word of God is very clear that we are to cast demons out with our spoken words, using our authority in Christ, right? We don't pray demons out. You command them to leave. You use the authority and command them to leave, not ask God to do it for us. So there is not one account that I can think of in the New Testament where prayer needs to be made to God to ask him to cast out a demon. The only other thing that I see that's a caveat, say caveat. Caveat. Here's a caveat. It said that when the prayer cloths off of Paul were given to people, it said spirits came out of people because of the anointing that was on the prayer cloth. Interesting, right? That's a little caveat. But the majority of them that you see, you got to command demons to leave. You don't pray them out. You don't ask God to do it for you. My point is this: fasting and prayer is not a solution to cast a demon out. Fasting and prayer is a solution to the unbelief in a minister or a Christian. So prayer combined with fasting, here's what happens. Here's what it does. Ready? This is not just something where the demon, you come up to the demon, you're fasting and praying, and the demon says, "Oh man, what a rough day I'm going to have today. They didn't even have a Big Mac from McDonald's. They're fasting. I guess I got to come out of him." The demon don't care if you're eating or not. Here's what fasting and prayer is doing for the Christian. It causes the minister's focus to be shifted from an overwhelming situation in the natural to God's ability to override and intervene in the situation with his power, which in turn increases the effectiveness and the fervency or the energio. Yeah. The energy, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's on the spoken words to cast that thing out. And I mentioned this before, obviously demonic spirits can sense if there's power on our words or not. But fasting and prayer will shift your focus. It builds your faith, helps you overcome doubt and unbelief, and it adds power to your command. That's what it's doing. Now, So the prayer and fasting, again, is for the minister, for the Christian, not to ask God to cast out the demon, to build up and strengthen the minister's faith. So here's my point. Jesus said that kind of demon comes out by prayer and fasting, not by supplication or asking. Prayer and fasting together are used to strengthen the faith of the person. So the main point of my message today is this. Prayer is so much more than just asking for things. It's so much more than just begging God for stuff. Prayer includes, again, verbally praising and worshiping God, expressing our gratitude, adoration, and thankfulness to Him. Our faith-filled confessions of the Word, that's prayer. Verbally using our authority in Christ to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to do miracles, signs, and wonders in the name of Jesus. It also includes praying and singing in tongues. We have really watered down the meaning of prayer in the body of Christ, and it has caused many Christians to get bored and to avoid doing it altogether. All the while, prayer has the potential, the full power, the provision for healing, miracles, signs, and wonders to shift situations with the energio of the Spirit of God. Church, it's time for us to press into prayer like never before, because it's going to usher in a mighty outpouring and a move of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to advance the kingdom of God in this area in power and bless your life like never before. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's so much more. Prayer team, come on down. Hallelujah. Prayer is so much more. Don't ever get bored. Don't ever say prayer's boring ever again. You're just not doing everything that prayer entails. And if you're doing it right, come on, baby, you're going to get fired up. It's going to ignite fire. It's going to put gasoline, spiritual gasoline on that fire. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never done that, please do not leave here without making Jesus the Lord of your life. And maybe you're here, you're like, well, I think I did, but I don't know. If that's you, you need to come down right now and pray with the prayer team member. Just say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want to know that when I take my last breath on this earth, I'm going to heaven for eternity. Now, maybe you're in this place, you're falling back, you're backslidden, and you want to rededicate, I want you to come forward. Maybe this prayer, this message about prayer, it really pricked your heart. Maybe it expanded your knowledge. If that's you today, and this message really was a blessing to you, and you want to pray more, you want to go deeper into prayer than you ever gone before, and that's you, I want you to come down and just say, hey, very simply, this message touched me. I want to pray more. I want to do more for the kingdom. Just tell them that and they'll pray over you. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism with speaking in other tongues, powerful, I want you to come down as well and just say, I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's not optional. It's in the Word of God, so we should want it. Amen? We should want everything God has for us. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. But how do you end this, right? What an idea. So, Lord, I pray over every person right now. Lord, I pray the fire of the Holy Ghost would be upon and within every person. Encamp them with your holy angels. Encamp their vehicles with your holy angels, their homes, properties, everything, Lord God. And I pray that you would use them. Father, I pray that the people's prayer life would be richer than ever before, Lord God. Take them deeper. Take them higher than ever before in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Have a great week, everyone. Lots of stuff going on. Is there Wellspring this week?
Yeah.
Where is? And it's on?
Parenting
this week is on Thursday. So come on out. Wednesday nights have been great too. So come on out on Wednesday. We'll have a good old time in the Lord. Visitors, thanks for coming. We love you all.